Hare Rama, Rama Rama hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare
hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare
hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare
hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare
bol prem nandi
hari hari ho
hari hari ho
Hare Krishna. I thank you all for attending this program, our second session on the deepening our chanting with devotion. And I'm as you all settle, I would like to tune you in this second lecture. But let us first please offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachare Nirvishesha Shunyavade Asyatya Deshatare Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda
Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Nasyeva, 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 gatiranyata.
To enter today's subject matter, which will be very nice, I find, let us please chant the next three verses of the Namashtakam. I think you will have the pieces of paper. If not all of you, you can share pieces of paper or perhaps find it in your personal mobile telephone. Yad Krishna. Yad Brahma Sakshat Kriti Nishtyayapi Yad Brahma Sakshat Kriti Nishtayapi Vinashamayati Vinanabhogai Vinashamayati Apaiti Nama Spuranena Tatte
Apaiti Nama Spuranena Tatte
Dakarmi Tiviro Tividae.
Arabda Karmi Tiviro Tiveda.
O holy name, the Vedas declare. You need to play softer. The Vedas declare that although meditation on impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from past karma, O holy name, your appearance at once makes all karma disappear. This is unfortunately a very poor translation. What the verse really says is that there are different forms of karma, and one of them, that is what is presently manifested, what we experience, it could be physical illness or limited intelligence and so on. And so this prarabdha karma, which all the Vedas say you have to go through it. You can't make it disappear. The holy name can even make such karma disappear. I have personal experience of this, that the changes which were happening in this life are changes of prarabdha karma in some cases. So, after having said so many things about the holy name, Rupa Goswami will now glorify different holy names in text 5. Agadamanaya Shodanando Nannasuno. Agadamanaya Shodanando Nannasuno. Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Brindavanendra. I feel we can do a little bit better on the second line. Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Brindavanendra. Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendra. Pranata Karuna Krishna Ityaneka Swarupe. Pranata Karuna Krishna Ityaneka Swarupe. Tvai Mama Ratiya Uchayara Varatam Namadeya. Tvai Marati Uche Varatam Namadeya. In this text 5, Srila Rupa Goswami prays that his taste for chanting the holy name will unlimitedly increase. This is perhaps a prayer which some of you would like to make their own prayer. It's interesting what names of the Lord he prays to. He starts with Agadamana, the crusher of Agasura, the demon of sin. We all in Vaishnav life, our sin which we presently commit is different from the ordinary person because we follow rules and regulations. The sin which is referred to is aparad or offenses. So first one invokes the crusher of all sins or offenses. Then he goes to, please repeat after me, Yashodanandan. This is Krishna's very, very favorite name because he loves his mother very, very much. Then Nandasuno, son of Nanda Maharaj. Then Rupa Goswami's attention turns to the Madhurya Rasa. He calls Krishna by the names the gopis like to meditate upon. Kamala Nayana, lotus eyed one. Gopi Chandra, moon of the gopis. Now, when the moon rises after a day that was full of heat, then we feel very pleasant. So when Krishna comes to the gopis, he is the Gopi Chandra. Brindavanendra, O Lord of Vrindavan. Pranata Karuna. Now he turns to how we, the souls of this world, might find great pleasure in addressing Krishna. Pranata Karuna means merciful to the Pranata. Pranata is usually the fallen person, no? As far as I know. Krishna. Yeah, oh Krishna, and then he goes to Ityaneka Swarupi. This is all your other forms. My dear Lord, who has all these names, I have, yeah, Pranata Karuna means merciful to the surrendered soul. I have one great need. May my love for you in your form as the holy names, these different holy names, greatly increase. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that what maintains the devotees on the devotional path is taste. If you think about it, I think it makes a lot of sense. If we have taste, everything is so easy. So we prayed to Krishna in the Sharanagati prayers. There's a prayer. Please, my Lord, maintain me by giving me taste. These are two verses. The next session we will make three verses. I think we'll leave it by now. As we move through the retreat, there is glorification of Krishna in the process of devotional service. But I always feel, as I look at you and look into my own heart, when I hear these glorifications, there is a question to which we try to look to get an answer. Why, after chanting for 10 years or 20 years or even more in many cases here, have I not yet seen the fulfillment of these wonderful results which happen when we do devotional service? Why have I not seen the fulfillment of this? So, in my own little clumsy way, I try to give an answer to this question, which may inspire you to look for your own answer. It is my answer for my devotional life. And I would like to present it at the outset of this program. I tried to describe a conversation between a disappointed and disillusioned disciple who actually is about to give up the process of Krishna consciousness because he feels all his hopes have been disappointed, and his Guru Maharaj, it's the last meeting that will decide. So I have given this a title which is quite emotional. It's called The Road of Tears, a title which comes from a particular Krishna Leela when Draupadi was violently pulled out. She was only in one garment because she was in her womanly situation. When she was violently pulled out into the public assembly of the Kauravas, and an attempt was made to disrobe her, she first addressed Grandfather Bhishma and said, can you allow such an injustice that in the court, the political court, the ruler, the place from where the power is wielded of this mighty empire, such an irreligious act is done? Can you just look in the other direction? When Bhishma, sorry, I have to do something with the voice. The emotions come later. This is only the voice. Bhishma turned the other way. Then she addressed all the kings to help her to avoid this injustice. They also did not answer her. She tried to defend herself with her own considerable strength. She was a Kshatriya lady who knew the usage of arms, of weapons. But finally, when nothing worked, she turned to Krishna. And Krishna then appeared and saved her by covering her with an unlimited quantity of cloth. This is a story is well known. What is not so well known is that when this heinous act started, in other words, when she was taken by the hair in the court, and when an attempt was made by Dushasan to disrobe her, Krishna was in Dwaraka playing dice with Rukmini, but he always lost, which is untypical for Krishna, because even if he loses, he can tell the dice to roll in his favor. So Rukmini, knowing the powers of Krishna in dice playing and in everything else, said, "My lord, you must be distracted. What is in your mind?" Krishna was moving back and forth. He said, "One of my devotees is in terrible trouble." "Then, okay, go there immediately." I can't," said Krishna. I will not reach." So he threw again dice, and again it was a very low number, and Rukmini easily threw the higher number. Rukmini said, "But you are already there. You are in the hearts of everyone. Why don't you reveal yourself to the devotee from the heart? You are Paramatma." "It won't work," said Krishna. Then, after some time, Krishna suddenly jumped up and said, "Now I can come. She has built the road for me to come to her, the road of tears." Please note, the Lord is almighty, but he will never interfere in the life of a devotee who does not desperately want him and does not provide him with a road to come, so to say, in poetic language, the road of tears. I think we are all reminded of a verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one should learn the simple technique, writes Prabhupada, to cry for Krishna, and then Krishna comes. And we know, of course, the verse that the only price for to have Krishna is, please tell me, lolyam, or intense eagerness. Then he comes. So trying to capture this in clear language, but also with a poetic twist, I want to read, or I try to put this in a poem.
One moment.
Yeah. The disappointed disciple comes with a heavy heart to his spiritual master. Guru Maharaj, who can say I've never tried? All those mantras I've chanted, all those vows, all those lonely nights spent in praying, all those pilgrimages, sacrifices, holy baths in ice-cold water, and persistently ignoring the requests of my mind and senses for what they want most. I was thinking, yeah, we the mind and senses don't want to get up so early, but we ignore it, we are getting up, and so on. Or the mind and senses want to eat certain preparations, perhaps on Ekadasi, which contain grain, but we ignore the requests. The result of all this? Nothing. Here I am, standing before you, a desperate man, a desperate woman. The emptiness in my heart has only gotten greater. You know, in poetry you try to exaggerate so to make your point. The guru replies, it seems to me you have done your best to come before the divine couple. But have you ever wondered if there's anything you can do so that they can come before you? Have you built your road for them? The road of tears. Disciple asks now, the road of tears? What kind of tears? Guru Maharaj, tears of the soul. There are different kinds of tears, the body tears. We cry those when we are in physical pain. The mind tears we shed when we are emotionally hurt. And then there are the sweet tears, the ones that come from the soul, when it wakes up to its only real need, the need for the one relationship. One relationship is with a big O. It means the relationship to Krishna, that special relationship. The road of tears you won't find on any map. I wanted to first write Google Maps, but then I thought it's too modern and too kitschy. So I wrote, this road of tears you won't find on any map. It starts or begins from your own heart. But this road of tears has so much power that it is irresistible to the divine couple. They can't ignore, even when you've just begun building them, they feel drawn to come before you. The disciple, Guru Maharaj, do I need many tears for this road? I have already cried all my tears for other things. I'm completely drained. And ISKCON B would say, burned out now, I tried everything. How could I possibly build a road that requires rivers of tears? The guru gets enthusiastic. Don't worry, there is an ocean of tears locked away in your heart. All you need to do is step away from your endless thoughts and hardened ego. Set your cleverness and your sly arguments on fire. Rise from the ashes as the real you, your true self, and sing and dance your way into freedom. Soon you will see the dam will crack and those sweet tears of longing will pour out. That's when the road of tears appears. My dear devotees, if we can, while we chant Krishna's holy names, connect with that part in us that truly longs for Krishna, at that time, when we chant with a deep yearning for our real necessity, the chanting is imbued with a sweetness without any doubt. Please try to remember, was there perhaps a time when you sat and you were really longing for Krishna? When everything fell away and there was only this hankering. I think you all remember, it must have been in the early times. You have seen those bhaktas who go like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. How was it? Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh Krishna. Have you seen such bhaktas? Yes, no, middle, I'm not into your lecture. Of course. Have you been in this situation? Yes, sometimes. This is the quality. Our Bhurijan Prabhu spoke this morning about when the magic of bhakti happens. No, when we have a sense of humility, of smallness, of insignificant, yet at the same time we have desires to be with Krishna. When these two polarities are there, humility and strong desire, then just like when you put a strong plus and a strong minus pole, then you see the transference of electric energy. So you see that if Krishna wants, and he wants usually, then at that time you are on fire. And ISKCON we would say you are fired up. I would like to say you are electrified with the transcendental energy of the Lord. Yes. Prabhupada spoke about this in relationship to chanting. He said once, he revealed the secret of the Gaudiya chanting to his disciples. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a sannyasi. He has no necessity. Why is he then crying? What does he want? He has given up the whole world. He became a sannyasi. He doesn't want anything. But why is he crying so much? Now he gives the answer. He's crying for Govinda. That is the real necessity. Govinda virahename. Let's say this, please. Govinda virahename. The Govinda necessity. He said this towards the end of his manifested pastime, Prabhupada's pastime, in May 1976. In other places, he said this, to be educated in the longing for Krishna, that is the task of the spiritual master. He wants to educate his disciples in this. And this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very, very, it's his method. In His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj's excellent book, I'll Build You a Temple, The Juhu Story, it is perhaps available here. It is available. There is a beautiful part, it is around page 280, as far as I remember. I could find it if I have the book, where Prabhupada speaks something very surprising. He says, actually, material senses, that means the mind and the senses, you know, tongue, ear, etc., can't grasp Krishna. It's not possible, because Krishna is entirely spiritual, and these material senses are material and can only engage with material subjects, no? So it's a lecture which is there, and as you hear the lecture, you wonder, wow, is it possible to become Krishna conscious? He makes it very strong, a strong point that it's not possible. But then he says, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give love of Godhead, and if someone practices Krishna consciousness with the method of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then this love of Godhead is possible. This philosophically intriguing subject, how can material words and the material mind express and understand the absolute truth, who is beyond words and thoughts, is addressed in chapter 87 in the prayer of the Bhagavatam, the prayers of the personified Vedas. And the conclusion is clear at the very end of the chapter, where it says, Krishna is impossible to be understood, but by bhakti, when the mind is filled with bhakti, that comes due to the mercy of Krishna, it is possible to understand the Lord. Mm. Yes. So it's understanding Krishna, my dear devotees, or chanting even with doing anything in Krishna consciousness, is not possible by your own strength. That means the strength of your senses, your body, and your mind. It is only possible by a divine investment into you, which comes when the Lord is pleased with you, which comes due to the mercy of a pure devotee, Guru and Krishna, and so on. So the law, but in order to approach the Lord, it's good if you don't make it in a concocted way, but you follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself. And he gave us the steam that moves your tired, uninspired, disappointed heart forward. There's one, please excuse me, I come from the family of train people. My father is a director of the German railway. He has passed. And as a child, I was always in trains. I had a free passport. I could go everywhere with that passport. It was taken away when 5 devotees one day decided to take that passport and ride 5 people on one passport. And then the railway said, well, he's now Hare Krishna, he's with these unusual people. And it was withdrawn. But as a child, I had this free passport. I could drive everywhere within Europe, not in America and not in China. I grew up in trains, and I remember the time of the locomotive, something that pulls, it's a vehicle that pulls the train, which works like this. It has water in a big tank, and underneath heat is created so that the water has become so hot, evaporates, and a lot of pressure is created, a lot of pressure. And this pressure is directed then towards the wheel, and then they move forward. A wonderful invention of the old times. So it's the steam which or the steam engine, you have this also, which moves the locomotive forward. There is a steam, my dear devotees, in you, which you have to somehow, which has to come in the heart to move you forward. If you have a steamless heart, you will stagnate on your process. This is expressed by Mahaprabhu. You know, I think, the verse.
Ainanda tanuya kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavam budho kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya.
Because this is so important, let us try again.
Ainanda tanuya kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavam budho kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya.
Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who after all the other verses, 4 verses, is very moved by the glories of the holy name, is now turning directly to Krishna with sweet feelings of longing. He says, O my Lord, O Krishna, he has tears in his eyes, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. now please be causelessly merciful to me. I don't deserve it, so causeless mercy is required. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made a song out of it. When Srila Prabhupada visited us in Germany, he had a harmonium in his own room, and often I, who was so fortunate to be, so to say, the room guard, if you so wish, or could hear he was singing. At that time I didn't know the song, but I got to know it later. It starts with Anadi Karama Fale. This is the translation. How unfortunate I am. I have fallen into this insurmountable ocean of material existence since time immemorial. I don't know when this all started. I'm being thrown here and there by the violent waves of my wicked desires. I cry miserably at my helpless condition. I do not see any hope of being saved. The ocean is insurmountable. What should I do? How will I be delivered? I do not see any solution to my dilemma. I'm most unfortunate. I once talked with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in one of the devotees' restaurant in Mumbai, and he shared an experience how very early he had gone into the ocean of Puri and came into this current. Current is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It took also Mahaprabhu, remember, and brought him all the way to Konarak. No? And I asked, how did you feel? He said, I don't know exactly his words, but the content was, I forgot, it was a long time back, Maharaj, I felt, this is it, I will now die. I could not fight with the ocean. So, because the current was so strong. So here our Bhaktivinoda says, the power of Maya takes me by force. And there's no one there to help me. Now I turn to you. O Lord, take me to you. Lift me up to the cooling shade of your lotus feet. Oh, I beg you, have mercy on this wretched soul. My dear devotees, when you chant with such a mood, you could call it the drowning man mood. When you really have understood there's nothing and no one that can bring me forward except Krishna, what does this do to Krishna? How does Krishna react? Is there even a way to know or to tell? There is a very nice book, it's called Adi Purana. Many of you know about it. It is depicting an interesting conversation of between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna asks all kinds of devotee-related questions. No? And here is, I don't know the question, but here's the answer of, to Krishna, to, which is very, which tells us how Krishna responds when we go to him with longing, or if we build the road of tears. He says, O Arjuna, now listen very carefully to what is in my heart. This promises to be a revelation. Krishna will talk to him from his heart now. Those persons who sing my name and dance directly before me truly purchase me. Don't be surprised by what I tell you now. Truthfully, those who sing my names and cry tears of longing purchase me. Janardan, completely. Except for these devotees, no one else can purchase me. And it's very interesting in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is described why Krishna, who is inaccessible to the words of the Vedas, who is transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of birth and death. That's how Prahlad says. Why is he, what moves him so much when he sees his devotee? Please remember, before I read this to you, this well-known statement in Srila Prabhupada's on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, that one should chant the mantra, one should cry like a child for the mother. Do you? We all remember it has been read by most of us several times. So what goes on in the heart of the mother when the child cries? This is described, in my mind, in these beautiful words from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I will immediately read to you in English. Krishna, this is what the text says, cannot bear to see his devotees crying out pitifully and shedding torrents of tears in the pain of separation from him. He can't bear to see that, even though he knows that these are not truly signs of unhappiness. You know, when you cry for Krishna, it's a very happy situation. You feel ecstatic. You feel this is not the tears of the mind or the tears of the body. It's the tears of the soul. So real or not, these signs of distress in his devotees force him to respond. In this state, his title Bhagavan is best understood to mean most loving. Bhagavan means usually full of all the bhagas, the opulences. But here, in this context, the devotee crying in the pain of separation from Krishna, changed the Lord's name even around, or the meaning of the name, because then his title Bhagavan doesn't mean full of opulences, it means, well, the opulence of love, it means very concretely most loving. The Lord is most loving. This is what evokes the tears. Therefore, Chaitanya Bhagavat has a verse. It's very beautiful. You can all repeat it, please. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana. Bhakti e.
Bhakti e.
Krishna nama,
Krishna nama,
smarana krandan,
smarana krandan.
Bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. is the greatest treasure. It's repeated 3 times for emphasis. Like Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. No, 3 times. No one can say, I didn't get it. I mean, after 3 times, you get it. So bhakti, bhakti, bhakti is the greatest treasure. What does this mean? Bhakti, what is this? Bhakti means crying while remembering Lord Krishna's holy name. My dear devotees, I'm not introducing crocodile tears here, that in some way that we are somehow working ourselves into a state. No, that will not help. Also, I want to encourage you, in case you think, well, yeah, Maharaj, but I'm not such a devotional person. I'm an intellectual, or I'm not at all a philosopher. I like music, but these things, I don't think I will. I have this, my dear devotees. You have it. It's in that part of you which you may not access during your life in Krishna, during your ordinary day. You may be so busy with your WhatsApp messages, with your preparing for this or that, that you miss the point. Once Prabhupada told Bob Cohen, he later became Brahma Tirtha. Oh, he said Brahma Tirtha will never become Krishna conscious, or Bob Cohen will never become Krishna conscious. That's after he had spoken perfect questions, perfect answers to him, this book, which you have, because he's too attached to smoke hashish with his friends. Then, at that time, Bob perhaps had heard about it, so he came again to Prabhupada. He was conflicted. Prabhupada had made an indelible impression in his heart. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, Krishna consciousness is so simple that you might miss the point. So we have all this, and it will come. I promised you some techniques, because some of you are happy when they can hold on to something very concrete. Hari Bhakti Vilas 1729 gives us 6 qualities to perfect the japa. In order to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities. This is now a good time to make notes. If you want this document, I could put it out and you can make a photo shot. This is perhaps the easiest. You know, with your mobile telephone, and then you have it, if you read it afterwards. Yes, I know you. So the first, in order to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities. First, do you remember from yesterday? I think so. One or two of you. Yes, you all remember. Mana samharanam. Concentrate the mind. Very simple. Repeatedly bring the mind back when it wanders. My dear devotees, I introduced yesterday pranayama to you. This is not obligatory. It is if you feel attracted. It's a suggestion. Not even an advice, a suggestion. Because it's in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, in our scripture, and commented on by Sanatana Goswami. And I know that some of you do are aware of yoga and pranayama, so you, for you it's easy because you know already. Then the next thing, that is a little bit strong. Mana Samharana is for everyone, repeatedly bringing the mind back when it wanders. Now the second quality is Socham, which translates as cleanliness when it's physical, Socham, physical, and it translates as purity when it's a quality of the heart, to purify the heart. So maintain both physical cleanliness and mental purity. Physical cleanliness, clean your body. You know how when after a fresh shower, it's so, I mean, in the morning, we speak in the, of the morning shower, it's so much, you're in a better space mentally. And but also in your external environment. If your room looks as if two atom bombs have simultaneously exploded there, it will not be possible to chant. It's a tamasic or rajasic environment. So tidy up your living space or chanting space. And mental purity. My dear devotees, please listen to someone who has very much had to learn on this, because yes, in my life before Krishna consciousness, I engaged in the modern music culture and so on. And mental purity, be careful what you throw into your mind, because it will sit there and grow there. When you have a scandalous thought, a critical thought about someone, if you hear about the amazing intelligence of the new American president in great detail, this was with affectionate thorn. If you have, you must be careful what you allow in your mind. Positive, sattvic thoughts and feelings. Very important. Also in our movement, there is, go on the internet, you can find, when you click unsattvic thoughts, it's really unsattvic there, or tamasic and rajasic. Be careful what you let in. Many of you don't like Krishna katha, but scandal katha. It could be that this is the reason why you have not yet taste in spiritual katha. You have to be very careful. Just like a gardener, he does not allow garbage in his garden, because then the good plants can't grow. So socham, cleanliness and inner purity. Monam, I've made a note here from Hari Bhakti Vilas, 17th chapter, 132. When one is speaking during japa, one's japa is considered to be greatly enhanced. Now comes the correct statement. Listen carefully. When one is speaking during japa, that means you interrupt and you speak, one's japa is considered to be fruitless. I think you know that when someone talks to you and all of a sudden gets his mobile telephone out and makes a telephone call, you become discouraged. You think, oh, this person does not value our conversation. and then you, when he's there, you politely bring the conversation to an end, you know? Yes, because you do not wish to continue an interrupted discussion if it's not absolutely necessary. I'm speaking not of the necessary interruptions, but just the distracted interruptions. So during chanting, I would suggest make it a point to always finish your round. This little practice will earn you the happy smile of Krishna. So you're there chanting, and your good friend comes and just don't know what just happened. And you just say, make this just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then he knows you only have a little time left, and then you finish the round and what just happened? And you know, sometimes it is, you know, we don't want to be cold towards Vaishnavas, no? But during the practice, monam, or just chanting and no talk, useless talk. Do not speak anything useless, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Now, let me look. My dear devotees, I will pause here and see if you have a question. And then I have one very nice point at the end, very practical point, which I think will tie in this point of longing with what you can practically do to generate this, to be likely to generate this point. But let me see that there's, because you might be tired of me talking so long without interruption. Is there a question, a relevant question? I see Gaura Hari, and I see our devotee. Yes, I think we go with two, and then afterwards we can take more questions. Yes, Gaura Hari.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was just thinking of this desire for having taste. And in our spiritual practice, in chanting japa, sometimes devotees think, yeah, but this is selfish. I'm praying to just enjoy myself and have taste. This is not good. So how do you balance this understanding?
Yes, very good point. Yes. Did you all understand? We are meant to give service, so we pray, Krishna, give me taste. Is this a devotional mood to demand taste in order to go on? I think it is a necessity. Once, there is a very interesting conversation with Prabhupada. And one devotee comes and asks him, Prabhupada, there is this bhajan, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhava Tume. Have you heard this? Here we pray, O my Lord Jagannath, please appear before me, before my eyes. Is this devotional? Now, Prabhupada has said many times, don't try to see God. And there's a lot of philosophy about this. We have heard, don't try to see God. No? No, yes, middle. So, here, listen to his answer. The devotee asks, is it bona fide to pray? Please, my dear Lord, kindly be visible unto me. And Prabhupada, so is it bona fide? Prabhupada is asked, and he says, it's necessary. Now, don't forget all the other things he has said about not, you know, acting in such a way that the Lord becomes satisfied. We are now looking at a little finer detail in our philosophy, which does not throw out everything else out of the window, but keeps it in place. And that is, the devotee needs some taste, some experience of Krishna consciousness. Many of my god brothers are of the opinion that what devotees need now most is not more philosophy. They know so much. They need experience. And that's why we have the Alone with Krishna session on the mountain. We guide you. Sorry. I have to translate always from German into English, and the German language is it is very subtle also, but it has also very direct ways of saying. So we give you the opportunity to be there to make an experience at the site of Giriraj. No? So here we speak about this need. You need to have some taste to go on. Otherwise you're like that disappointed disciple who one day will throw the towel, another German expression. What does this mean in English? Who will give up? Do you know that our apostasy rate, this is the people who leave us, is 80%. That's a very considerable rate. We can't ignore this number. If they would have an experience, if they would be maintained, if their faith would be, it would be easier for them. We can't ignore these numbers, Prabhus. Yes, Prabhu. There was another devotee.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. So we discussed about two points mainly, this desire and humility. So humility, are we focusing on some particular point regarding humility, or it is in every aspect of the devotional service for this seminar? What we are focusing especially.
You wanted, it's a little bit abstract for you, the term humility, or what it means in devotional service. Well, you can start with humility in relationship to devotees. Then you can say, I'm your humble servant, Prabhu, do menial services like this, no? Then you can also practice humility in regards to God. Humility, you know, I'm insignificant and beg the Lord. There are three forms of humility. This is now unpacking humility. Please listen to what this term can mean. Humility with the mind means to regret your fallen condition. Humility with the body means to bow down and to do menial services. Humility with the heart, actually the heart is the place where the regret is an emotional thing. You need to regret. So again, humility with the mind, I made a mistake. Humility with the mind means to understand your situation and not live in an overblown understanding of who you are. Humility of the body means to do humble service and to bow down. Humility of the heart means to regret. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry for this. And only then you have the right to say, I'm your humble servant. If you don't practice humility of the mind, if you don't practice humility of the body, if you don't practice humility of the heart, your words, I'm your humble servant, are so very empty. They are dark. they don't have brilliance. Yes, these are ways to practice. Mm-hmm. Good, Prabhuji, this is something practical for you. Please practice, no? It will come. My dear devotees, I want to conclude this session and see if perhaps there are more questions on it. The question is, so we are talking about longing, developing the feeling of longing. I thank you very much. little humor. I was speaking about humility, so look at me, it's not very humble. I little humor, so I have to put it here, of course. So, my dear devotees, there are these six qualities. Which was the first one?
Manasamharanam.
You can make this photo. Second, please. Socham, very good. Third, please.
Monam.
Now comes the fourth. Mantrata chintanam. Becoming aware and being aware of the meaning of the mantra. This point is made in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is made by Jiva Goswami. You should know what this means, that you sit down and chant Hare Krishna. See, when we chant ordinary, our thoughts rarely remain fixed on the mantra. Do you agree? When you chant, they may be fixed for some time, but then invariably, without you even noticing what happens, the mind goes somewhere. So when we chant in an ordinary way, our thoughts rarely remain fixed on the mantra. Thus we repeat the mantra aimlessly while our mind is roaming here and there. Or it just goes into the dull mode, you know. Okay, nothing to do, I park my mind in Tamaland. So on. Now, when you fix your mind on the Lord, by contemplating the meaning of the mantra, the deity whom you invoke remains uninterruptedly in your mind. I was very fortunate to be the guest here of the Govardhan Retreat Center for the months of Kartik, and I had ample opportunity to practice. While I was chanting, I was focusing on what is the meaning of Hari. Hari is a name of the Lord. It means He takes away the ignorance, the nations from His devotees by revealing to the devotees His nature and also His spiritual form. So you are there chanting about this meaning, oh Krishna. You turn to and you pray to Him, please take away the ignorance from me. Please reveal something of your nature. No? Then Hari, from Hare Krishna, can be also the vocative, not just of Hari, but of Radha. You know everything. And Radha is known by the name Hara, because, can you imagine what she does? Hara means?
Attracts the attention of
Krishna. She steals. What does she steal?
Krishna's mind.
Mind of Krishna. Krishna can only think of her. Radha, Radha, Radha. It's in his mind. And when she is absent, he is not able to think of anything else than Srimati Radharani and how he might have her association again. And she is also known as Hari in the vocative, because she is the incarnation of Krishna's joy. These are authorized, I'm taking this from Gopal Guru, and he's mentioned in Vajranahasya. Vigyapya bhagavatatvam chitgananda vikraham haradya vityam tatkayam ato hari iti smitaha. The Supreme Lord is known as Hari because he takes away the nations of his devotees by revealing to them his actual nature and personal spiritual form. I hesitate to talk about other meanings here because it will be an information overload to you, but I think you are well aware of the meaning which Prabhupada gave us. No? He said, O Radharani, Hari, O Krishna, please engage me in your service, or please accept me. It's, in other words, this mantra has a heartbeat. You want to reconnect with Krishna. So bhakti, says Prabhupada, is so nice thing that very easily you can get the favor of the Supreme Person. And if Krishna is bored with you, should we make another time a try? You are not attentive. Of course, Krishna is not bored with us. So please listen again. And if Krishna is pleased upon you, yes, then what remains? Everything you get, you don't require much money. You don't require much education, nothing of that sort. Simply, you require your brain. No? Good. Your heart. Someone said heart. Good. So you don't need all these things. Simply, you require your heart. Oh, Krishna, you are my Lord. You are my master eternally. I'm your servant eternally. Let me be engaged in your service. No, we had this Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said, I'm your servant and you are my master. No, Prabhupada also says here, you are my master eternally. This will never change. And I'm your servant eternally. It's always there. Let me be engaged in your service. That is Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
This is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Two dots. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, I am your servant. Somehow or other, this we can say, somehow or other,
somehow or other,
I have now fallen in this material condition. Kindly pick me up and engage me in service.
Engage me in service.
In Sangita Madhava, Prabodhananda Saraswati describes the soul who first sees Radha and Krishna. It's very difficult for the soul to, so overwhelming to see the beauty of the Lord. So he asks, is this a rain cloud of nectar? No, from where should a cloud come all of a sudden? Is this a blackish tamal tree? No, trees don't move, but this moves. And then Radha, is she the goddess of Lakshmi? No. Is she the heart of Krishna? No. And then it's interesting, after being just most properly shouting out these things in total ecstasy, the soul says, my dear Radha, please teach me how to sing. I want to serve both of you with my song. Spiritual world, singing and dancing. Yes, dancing is also very much required in the spiritual world. So, and then Prabhupada brings this to an end, the meaning. He talked about the meaning, kindly pick me up, I'm your servant, you're my master. And then he says, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. Bhavam Budo, this material world is just like a great pizza. Oh, sorry. I'm getting inattentive. This material world is just like a great ocean, Bhava. Bhava means repetition of birth and death. And Ambu means Ambudo, the sea and the ocean. So we are struggling hard. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm your servant eternal. Somehow or other, I have fallen in this ocean and struggling. Pick me up. So the idea of longing, no? And when you are in this space where you think about the meaning of the mantra, you can start or remain, if you like, with this Radha Krishna, please engage me, pick me up, let me serve you. Serve is when that comes when you are closer to the Lord. You want to just serve. And then when you do like this, the mind stops walking, but the deity remains uninterruptedly present in the mind. The deities, Radha and Krishna, that are invoked with such ardor and faith are sure to appear before the devotees. This is not happening when the mind is sometimes fixed on the mantra and sometimes distracted. So build your road, my dear devotees. Build your road. Hare Krishna. Finished. I have said what I wanted to say at this session. Sorry it was a little long, I acknowledge it, but because I have something so wonderful in the last session, I needed to finish the material. Now we are done. Would you like to hear another poem?
Yes.
It is something which is quite, it is a question to Krishna which I sometimes have. Can you still love me? Or to Radha, can you still love me? The life I live now, every single breath I take, every moment, every thought must be totally foreign to you. You know, because you are in the land of bliss and I'm here covered by the material energy. I have moved light years away. A little spark on the opposite end of your galaxy, almost extinguished, a stranger. Yet I yearn for you so much. Isn't that strange? People come to me with genuine affection. I look at them. trying to find you among them. But then I turn away to hide my tears. You're not there. Sometimes I feel I can continue to breathe only because of you. If I heard that I am a person of the past to you. In Germany we say this, our relationship is something of the past. No, we say like this, I don't. If I heard that I am a person of the past to you, a disappointment buried in the riverbed of time, I think I could not bear to live even a moment more. But if I heard that you called for me, I would cross oceans, deserts and mountains to come to you. Please find a way to let me know whether you can still love me. I think Krishna sends us many, many signs during this Govardhan retreat that indeed and in fact he's there, just around the corner, because he loves us. Hare Krishna.